This word today, oh, am I excited about this one. As you know, we've been talking about the glory realm and how the glory realm works. The glory realm is just not a cloud that comes around you. It's far more than just the presence of God, definitely another level of presence. The glory realm has operations within it that can transform the generation we live in. That glory realm will be a major, major part of the operation of the last day, sons and daughters. We call it the plumb line operation. We call it the last day operation, the operation of the crown. All of these operations are coming, but we see so many of these. And today I'm going to give you another one where it would pertain to Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. The Battle of Jericho, as you know, was the first major conquest of the promised land. So when God would tell somebody, I'm giving you this land, a lot of times we think we're just going to get the land. But when we are promised a land, most of the time there are enemy occupants, illegal occupants, they're occupying our territory. And the way we're going to unseat them, it cannot be done by the flesh. It's not going to be done by man's ingenuity. It's going to be done from above. And the way that we bring above down and the mysteries of how that inheritance comes down into the earth, that is the operation that God is predefining right now for His people and for His church. It's a church that's going to manifest the dominion of God. Say the dominion. And that dominion is a position, it's a place, it's also a position, but it's transferable down into the earth. So we're going to look at this today. I'll do a little bit of review. Let's go to Joshua chapter 5. We'll be in 5 and 6. Then we're going to talk about how God's going to get this done. Jericho is your inheritance. Whatever God called you to, the thing He told Joshua about Jericho, I've given you the king, I've given you the mighty men of valor that serve that king, and I've given you the silver and the gold of it. You can have the whole city. So whatever God's called you to do, whatever realm of dominion, there's a demarcation of that realm in Jericho. So when God came to Jericho, there are some things that happen before He just launches you. You just don't walk out in dominion. God prepares you. He gets them over. He circumcises them again. We have to be continually circumcised from the Egyptian bondage or the Babylonian system or wilderness reproach. You're not going to walk into the promised land doing things the way you did it in the wilderness, doing definitely not the way you did it in Egypt. We have to be circumcised from those systems. We have to be cut off from those systems and getting ready for a new way of doing things. Amen. And it's this new way that's going to cause the kingdom of heaven to come down to man. So before He does that, He circumcises them. Then we see chapter 5, verse 13. That's where I want to begin. The Lord's going to come out to meet Joshua. And it said, it came to pass. Another interesting thing right before this, in 12, the manna ceased. See, there is an operation of manna that's designed for a certain part of your journey. But when we go to inheritance, those operations are going to wane and inheritance is going to kick into a new level. We are living in the generation of inheritance. We are going to freely inherit where we did not bestow the labor. Hallelujah. He says the man is drying up. From this point forward, the new land's going to provide for you. When God gives you a new land, that land is going to have a provision of its own. An inheritance. Hallelujah. And it came to pass that when Joshua was by Jericho, now God comes out to meet him. He's on the outskirts of Jericho. They're all ready to go. Now watch what happens here. He says, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua, he went out to meet him. He didn't know who he was. He didn't know who he was going out there to meet. And he said unto him, art thou for us our adversary? Can you imagine Joshua's walking out to the Lord himself? This is the Lord standing there. He's coming out and he's the Lord of hosts. I mean, he's the Lord of the angelic armies of heaven is standing there, but Joshua didn't discern that. So he gets out there and he says, are you for us or against us? With his sword. Can you imagine when he gets the revelation? Oh my God, it's the Lord standing here. Joshua's ready to fight this guy. He was going out to fight him. And he said, no, but as the captain of the host. The Lord of hosts is standing here. Now that tells us the Lord of the angelic armies of heaven was standing there, that he had already released his angels in front. They were already ready to take the whole city down. But now he's standing there and he's going to commission Joshua. And he says, "With the captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth in the worship and said, "What saith my Lord?" And he said, "The captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from thy feet, from the place where you stand it is holy." Now, interesting to know that Joshua was the one that was sat up in Moses' tabernacle all those years in the wilderness where God was meeting. Joshua was very accustomed to the presence of God. That wasn't a new thing, but this was a different kind of operation. This holiness there, same kind that Moses had, that's the blessing. Remember in the land of Peniel, we've been talking about Peniel. What did Jacob receive? He said he received the blessing and the righteousness from the God of our salvation. This is that manifested transformational righteousness. That's that transformational glory that's going to accompany the power, the dominion, and the blessing of the crown. Amen? That transformational holy ground is different than presence. It's a holy ground, transformational righteousness that it will accompany what God's doing in the earth with us. So now we see commissioning, we see the transformational righteousness, see holy ground, God's come down and manifesting his holiness. There will be an operation of manifested holiness that will accompany the crown. It's not something we're going to do. It's how we're going to get to be without spot and wrinkle. It's going to be an operation of transformational righteousness that brings us to the perfecting. Now, it appears that when chapter 6 comes along, that this encounter is over because it says, now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. It appears that that encounter stopped, but in reality, it did not stop. That encounter was still going. The Lord was still standing before Joshua. I missed this. So let this be a lesson to all of us, because I've preached into this the last 3 years at least 10 times. And I missed this every time. Every time I went through it and the Lord said, go back, you missed something. I'm like, there is no way we've missed anything concerning Jericho. You know, I was arguing with the Lord. I said, we have been all over this. He goes, you missed it. And I went back and I'm like, we missed it. I'm like, can you believe that's there? Do you know how much mystery and glory is in a single chapter of the Word of God when he unveils it and unveils it? It's enough to change a generation if you know what's in it. There are so many mysteries in the Battle of Jericho itself. It is a prototype operation of how the last day church will take the promised land. It's all there. The angels were there. They're the ones that tore the walls down. The plumb line was there. I'll show it to you in a minute. The crown was there with the seven priests blowing the seven trumpets, representing the seven eyes of the crown and the seven trumpets of dominion, the seven horns of dominion. The glory was there. The ark was with them. The presence of God was there. All of that operation was there in Jericho, ready to be revealed. But before this happened, there was something else that happened. Because the Lord didn't walk away. He was still there with Joshua. And it appears in verse 2 of Joshua 6 that the Lord starts giving him instruction. He said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given the land. Well, the King James got that one right. Say, see, I have given the land. We must be in see, I have given mode. But the see I have given is not seeing from where we are into the future. You're going to walk out with God into that appointed time and see it's done. There is a done realm in the glory of God that God's inviting us to dwell and speak from that realm. Now in the old here, he did this with Abraham. He did this with Jacob and he did this with Joshua. And we'll see that in a minute. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about the plumb line itself. Because we see this, how the plumb line works. We see the plumb line is mentioned in Zechariah 4. And this is a total last day prophecy where he says, you shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is the king. He's Christ. The plumb line will be in the hand. We are his hands. Amen. He's going to give us authority, operational authority and dominion as joint heirs with the plumb line, which is the last day operation of God that will finish the church from top down, not bottom up. The early church laid the foundation and built that foundation. The final move of God is the crowning move that comes from top down. Amen. We're going to operate from top down. Where is the word of God for that? I'm glad you asked that. He said you would see it. Now, the plumb line was a stone of 10. I have it here. You drop it and they would build vertically. But it's more than just a vertical line. We know by operations that Jacob had the operation of the angels that ascended and descended continuously. We know that Christ inherited that because Nathaniel saw it. So the plumb line is going to consist of a continuous ascension and descension of angelic authority. More than that, too, it's not just the ascension and descension. Plumb line has a demarcation or a focused authority. When he went into the promised land, he said, go take it. He didn't say that. Everybody had a certain field with a certain parameter assigned to them. Everyone has a parameter of dominion given by God. You will have to understand what that is. And when we were given, now the first battle, they all did it together. But then they went on and out into their prospective tribes. And God marked off the tribes. So when God speaks of a promised land to us, he'll speak in a macro term or he'll speak in a universal place. But when it comes time to inherit, he's going to focus that down into a place that we're going to execute dominion, authority, and faith. And you're going to have to get it focused into a place. That's why when they went to Jericho, he said, surround the city, encompass the city. First thing he tells them, encompass the city or surround it. Actually, that word means crown, crown the city. Set the crown over what you're believing for. So when we learn to do that, now how do we do that? Over. Now remember, I want you to go to Hebrews 2 for a minute. So we're going to get a focus. How many of you got focus faith these days? It's a faith that has laser focus. We're going to get focus, position, draw it out. Hey, you know what we have today they didn't have? We have Google. I tell people all the time, you want to know how to go top down? Go to Google. And if you're believing God for something, just go up and down till you see that thing from space all the way down to as far as Google will drop. If it's your house that you're setting the perimeter around, drop it down, draw the circle around your house. It's real easy to do. Draw the circle, say, that's my territory. Draw the circle around your ministry. That's my territory. Draw the circle around the educational system. That's my territory. You got to see it from top down. Because if you try to take dominion from the realm of here, you're going to get distracted and the enemy's going to fight you here. But from there, we get out of the systems of the world, we get clothed in dominion, and we drop down from a position of dominion. Now I'm going to show you that in Hebrews 2. This is all how the glory realm is going to work. Amen. We first come out. We come out of the systems of the world. We get that off of us. Because if we don't get it off of us, we're not going to be able to function properly. You get unclothed and reclothed. Some of you need to put off 2021. Some of us are still carrying 2021. We need to bury the success and the failures. Let it all go. Paul said, I forget those things that are behind me. I press on. To the mark, I'm pressing on. We take off. We dismantle. Because we as heirs cannot wear the old. We cannot wear heaviness. We cannot wear oppression. We cannot wear trespass. We cannot wear betrayal. We cannot wear disappointment. Sometimes we get disappointed. We can't wear any of that and be affected. We got to take it off and say dismantle. Let's look at this position real quick. So look at Hebrews 2, verse 6. He's picking this off of Psalms 8. He says, in a certain place testified saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. That was Christ at the suffering of death. That's the only time he was made lower than the angels. The suffering of death. But then what? Crowned him with what? Glory and honor. Crowned him in glory and honor and did what? Set him over the works of his hands. Set him over. in Psalms, it said made him have dominion. So dominion that is restored, it's restored in Christ above. We have to follow him into that. Say follow. To be effective, we follow him into where he is in that place. Ephesians says it. He says, you're raised together, made to sit together. Say raised, made to sit. See, we raise up with him. We're made to sit together with him. And then he executes the operation of dominion and sets us over the works of his hands. See how we're in a place from top down. He continues this thought in the next verse. He says it like this. He says, and you have put all things into subjection under his feet. And he left nothing that is not put under him. He put all things under his feet. Well, see, you were raised together. That same crowning, you died with him. You're raised up. Now that we're raised up, we stand in the honor. We stand in the dominion. We stand in the authority, and he's put all things under. So when we start executing dominion, we need to come from top down and see it's under us. Because if you don't see it's under us, you're not going to be very effective in your faith. See, when we drop in, see, we're dropping down into that place. That's us coming from top down, from heaven to earth. Riches and glory moving. That's why we like to say draw a circle. Because you are creating a demarcation of focused faith. Now once that circle is drawn, you gotta know and become aware of all the weapons of your warfare that are involved in that place. God has given us weapons. There are angelic hosts ready to function and operate with us in the plumb line. The glory of the ark of God is there. He said, I will be a wall of fire about you. And the glory in your midst. Now there's something, now listen to this, that we started realizing. We've been doing this little plumb line for a little while. There's something happening now. We're starting to have almost daily encounter in this thing. Living daily encounter. And this plumb line that we're operating in is not a now day. It's the next day. I'll call it the next day. We'll call it future from our position. From God's position, it's just a day. Because in him, he has all these days, right? They're all living. They're all completely planned out. They're all completely completed. Now, what has happened? I'm trying not to get too deep with you, but very deep at the same time. Something's happening. The plumb line, there's a whole nother realm starting to form. Living realm, living life. You get translated into what we'd call a future position, and we're feeling, we're touching, we're tasting, we're hearing, we're experiencing such a living reality of the future environment that sometimes it's hard to distinguish between the two. And someone was praying with me the day, and they said, you know, when you're speaking, I feel the creative life. And the Lord gave me a vision of what was happening. And I'm going to share this with you. I saw what we would consider the plumb line. It's like a cylinder. Think of a cylinder, glass cylinder that surrounds. Everything inside of that realm is kept. Everything inside of it is completed by God. Every word you speak, every action of your faith, it's kept there. It doesn't disappear. You know, you think when you exercise faith, those words just go somewhere and leave. No, they are kept. They are kept. Everything. When you're speaking the words of God, you're speaking creative life. And that creative life starts forming a creative environment. So when you walk out of this environment to that environment, all of a sudden that environment's living. I'm like, whoa, this is a living place. This is not just something I'm speaking by faith. It's living. And suddenly the walls started. The interior, I would say like, the only way I can describe it, think of like a glass cylinder, a golden glass cylinder that surrounds you. Surrounds your promise. Surrounds what God's called you to do. On the outside, someone can look at it, they can't see anything. But on the inside, if you're on the inside, you're seeing everything. And I saw as we would enter and we would speak the words of God or perambulate, our favorite word, Pastor Chuck's favorite word, as we would perambulate or see that I have given. What did he say to Joshua? See that I have given. when you would see the given place and we would speak what we see, I saw images starting to form all around this glass wall. It was like think of it as like a canvas on the inside, a continuous canvas. And I saw and heard the Lord say, there is a renaissance coming that will trump even the days of Michelangelo. But they're not going to be painting on natural surfaces. I'm bringing out a renaissance of my people that are going to paint the Father's prophetic, glorious, creative days. And I saw painting. I was thinking about you, Misha, when I was thinking. And I saw these paintings. As we would speak the words of the Father, it started creating a panoramic image inside. And when you get in it, see, when you would speak, you'd think you're done that day. But then you come back and the next day and the next day. And some days it's good, some days it's not. But as it builds, all of a sudden it starts becoming creative inside there. It starts living. And I'm like, wait, I'm living in a brand new living day. It's not where I was, but it's definitely where I'm going. And that all those walls started breathing. I mean, the creative image of the wall. We're inside heaven on earth. It was like the Father's creative day in the earth. It was so beautiful. And as we were doing this, I was seeing these panoramic, he goes, the Father's creative heart's coming out. Now listen, sometimes when you hear these things, when we're just new at these things, it seems like, oh, that's pretty complex. Well, this is the operations of joint heirship. God's going to bring out his glorious new day out of his own heart. That's what God did. He spoke from his heart. When the Lord speaks from the Father's heart, or when the Father would speak, those words were creative. As soon as he spoke, that universe started creating and expanding. That's the way God is. He's creative. So when you tap the heart of the Father, or when you tap the creative day of the Father, and you speak that image, those words are living. They don't just go die somewhere. Just because you go back into the earth, those words are kept in a storehouse. But it's like it's a plumb line storehouse. They get on the walls of that thing. They get on the perimeter of what you're believing for. It's painting an atmosphere of a new day you're living in. It's the creative realm of the Father that's going to trump everything. I want to tell you, I had an encounter, praise God. Sometimes you just got to get out there, you know. But on December 30th, we were praying. And we were going up to the throne, like we were going up getting clothed in glory and clothed in honor. And I was standing before his throne, and I saw the plumb line, the golden plumb line, and I knew we were about to drop in and do our thing, you know. And all of a sudden, from the throne of the Father, this tidal wave of golden glory came out. I didn't even know what it was. It was like a river came straight out of the throne. And I'm like, whoa, I could sense it, such a flow of it, and went straight down the plumb line, and I was thinking in my heart, what is that? And I felt my spirit, chase it, go chase it. I don't explain all that, I just went after it. So I dropped down in the plumb line, and I started doing this, I know I'm speaking, but I can't help. So when I got into this field that God called me to do, and the atomic bomb blew up in that field. That glory became like a ball, like this big. It looked like a seed to me. And the Lord said, just plant that in the seed. And I went into this field God called me to that I've been perambulating and building the plumb line around. And I dropped that thing and before God, atomic bomb blew up. I mean, it just decimated that field. It went poosh. It was like the walls of Jericho collapsed that day. And I felt it. I felt the glory. I felt the enemy was dethroned. See, before you ever inherit, you're going to inherit. Because you're going to learn to do these things in another realm before it ever shows up here. And that thing was just blew that thing. I know that field is getting ready for harvest. It's a big field too. I know that thing was ready because God unseated something that day. He blew it out. Just totally decimated. It looked like an underground atomic. It rippled through. I felt the glory of it. I felt the breakthrough of it. I felt the freedom. I'm like, whoa, God's sending things out of the glory realm to unseat. See, because if you really understand plumb line authority, when God starts building these things belong to you. This is your field. You are there to have dominion now. Your defense. What happened is their defense was part of it. He broke the defense line of the enemy, shattered it.
He didn't just say, tap him out. He threw him out. It like shattered the whole thing. I knew there was a system that was resisting me inheriting that land. It was blown out. Shattered completely. This is the operation of God. This is how God's going to get things done. We're going to be spiritual and natural kings and priests exercising dominion from another realm. This is part of the glory realm, which now I'm going to get to. Well, even in Jericho, God did this glory thing with Joshua. So, with that said, two translations, the Lord said in the mouth of two, two separate translations that confirmed this. Here's what happened. The Lord comes out to meet Joshua. He's ordaining him. Holy ground moment. But he didn't leave him. He's still there with him. But they're now going to move in another realm together. And in chapter 6, he says Jericho was straightly shut up. From verse 2 to verse 5, he's still there, but they're not there. They're still at Jericho, but they're going post-Jericho now. When the Lord appeared, he manifested his glory. See, he brought him before his face, just the same way he did with Abraham. Now Joshua is about to walk into the face of God. Now when he speaks to Joshua, he's not speaking to him where they are. He's walking him on out into a finished position. This is what the glory realm does. It's the operation of him that was, is, but is to come. The Lord takes Joshua into the realm that is to come, and then he'll speak from that realm. So, because someone said to me, he goes, well, I come in Jericho, they're not talking. They're just shouting. And he goes, and you're saying to speak. I said, because the Lord did the speaking for us. But now in our covenant, we are the sons of glory. Because in Hebrews 2, he said he manifested his glory in bringing many sons to glory. He behooved him to do this, to bring us into the glory, to bring us into the operations of the glory, to bring us into the manifested glory. To bring many sons into glory. Now we'll do the speaking. Now we'll do the joint heirship. He was doing this for us. It's like, how long will I do this for you? I'm going to show you how it works. Well, you are the heirs now. In my name, you'll transact kingdom authority, kingdom dominion. And so now he's still with him. He says, now come with me, Joshua. Now King James got this right. The first thing they said in verse 2, he said, see, I have given. Just like Abraham did the same thing. Abraham, I have made thee a father of many nations. Not going to make you, not going to do this, not shall, will, do, maybe. I have. Now, understand this. If I could draw it out for you, you have earth realm here, which is outskirts of Jericho. You have the battle of Jericho, and then you have the finished dominion where they decimated Jericho, walls had fallen. All of this is in God. Already done. Finished. Completed. Now, when we're in earth realm, we're still waiting for it to happen. In God's realm, it's already happened. When God was speaking to him, he wasn't speaking to him anymore. He encountered him in earth realm, manifested his holiness, ordained him, commissioned him. He said, now walk with me. Now, I'm going to take you out into the battle before you get there. I'm going to speak to you, but I'm not speaking to you where you are right now. I'm going to speak to you and show you the panoramic battle. And when I speak it from the position of finish, it'll be done because I'm doing it for you. And all you'll have to do is just do what I tell you to do and shout. Because I've already spoken this from the realm of the glory. Understanding the glory. Are you with me? He did this with Abraham. He did it with Jacob. He did it now with Joshua. So now they're moving. Still technically on the outskirts of Jericho, but spiritually now, they've already moved into the living day of the dominion of Jericho, the one God already said was going to happen. And he describes the battle, and he speaks from the place of done. Now, King James got it right when the first part, see, I have given. Then King James starts this, thou shall. Well, there's no thou shall there. If you go to the literal translation, there's no thou shall do this. It is done. So let's read what really happened in verse 2 to verse 5. Because when verse 5 is complete, he comes back out of the encounter and he starts giving everyone instructions in verse 6. But verse 2 to verse 5 is all glory ram. You can put some eyeballs on verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5 and say, glory ram. Because this glory ram is what the church is going to operate in the last days. The only difference is you're going to do the seeing. You're going to do the speaking as an heir of God. But you're going to do it from the realm of the glory. That's why the Lord said, how long am I going to do this for you? I only do what I see my Father do, and I'm going to show you how I operate with the Father. We already do this before we do it. My Father worketh hitherto, now we'll work. Until you work hitherto with the Father, you don't even know what it means to work yet. That's the realm that he operated in. It's the realm he promised us in the upper room, his mantle. We are all going to function in the Lord's mantle. Let's read literal and Young's is about the same. I just put both translations in the mouth of two. It says, now Jericho shuts itself up and is shut up. That's pretty good. You could prophesy that right there to your circumstance. Shut up. You're my field. Shut up. Because of the presence of the sons of Israel. Listen, when the presence of God, you are wearing dominion now. These are not wilderness people anymore. This is the dominion of God that's come on us. We're in the presence of the dominion of God. And Yahweh, or the Lord, says to Joshua, see, I have given you Jericho and its king into your hand. He'll go on and tell him, I've given the mighty men of valor, he'll silver and gold too. It's all yours. Now, remember when he's saying this, he's not saying this anymore. They're not standing in the boundaries of Jericho. They done walked out in the spirit. Because when the Lord's speaking, he is speaking from the finished position. It was necessary to get Joshua's spirit in the done position in agreement with him. So you got to get into the finished position. The Bible says, believe you receive. When the Lord said, when they come to the Lord, they said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, believe. See, the Lord kept the definition of what it means to believe in himself. All things are possible to those who believe. That definition must be described from heaven alone. We don't get to just summarize that definition and think we've got it. If we got it, we can move in the impossible. If we understand what it means to truly believe God, we will move in the impossible realms of God. We have to be trained on what that means. God can say one word, but it takes us 50 years to understand how it works. Well, maybe 5 now. 5 months. So see, I have given. Now look at verse 3. Let's compare. Verse 3 in King James says what? And you shall compass the city. That's not what's happening. Because that's not where they're at. What's he say? And you have surrounded the city. Because where they are, they had already surrounded the city. The host have come out. The 7 priests representing the 7 eyes, blowing the 7 trumpets representing the 7 horns. The ark following. The armed forces going in front, armed forces behind already encompassed. See, from that position, they're already there doing it. You have encompassed the city. You're not, you shall. See, if you shall, it denotes an event that still needs to take place. And if your faith is doing that, then it keeps pushing it off. Now faith is. True faith's going to apprehend the finished realm, not something that still has to happen. It's got to move into the happen. You got to move in. Done realm. Then the atomic bombs will go off, praise God. Oh! You have surrounded the city. Oh, you men of battle, going around the city once, thus you do for 6 days. 7 priests carrying 7 horns, and the rams before the ark. See, that's the crown and the ark going together. Woo! And on the 7th day, you surround the city 7 times. Now look at verse 5. It has been. Say, it has been. Well, in the King James, it says, verse 5, it says, it shall come to pass. If your faith is in it shall come to pass, you're going to wake up tomorrow morning, it shall come to pass. You're going to wake up Tuesday, it shall come to pass. You're going to wake up Wednesday, it shall come to pass. You're going to go, this is our year. Next year, this is our year. Year after that, this is our year. It has to be, this is our day. It's not going to be, it shall come to pass. It has been. You see the difference? It has to move into it has been. You cannot stand in natural time and say it has been. You've got to get in the glory realm where it has been. Only the glory realm denotes the it has been position. The glory realm allows us to move into the finished realm. Say, it has been. We have surrounded the city. See, I've given. Everything is already being played out because the Father worketh hitherto. It's being played out. See, now the Lord's doing the speaking. He's doing it with Joshua, but he's got Joshua's spirit present with him. In the realm of the Father that is to come. Have I lost anybody yet? Okay, now he's got him there. He's speaking because he said, now I'm not going to do this for you because they were not men of glory. You are. It behooved him in bringing many sons into glory. You can operate like us now. You operate in my name. You operate under my authority. You operate in dominion. See, but we're going to do the speaking now. We're going to do the seeing. We're going to say, but he did it for Joshua. Don't you wish he'd just come and do it for us? He did it with Abraham too. That's how he birthed him out. When he was 99, he said, walk before my face and I'll perfect you today. He took him out in the generations and he'd walk down like, you have been a father of many nations. Kings have come out from your loins. Nations have come out from you. See, every time he got him past the place he was done, he'd speak it. That's how he birthed him. It was 99. So I got it done. Because he was struggling. In fact, he came out of that encounter and he started laughing at God. God told him, and now all this is going to come out of your loins. And he fell on the floor and laughed. Because he got back in his humanity. See, there's an operation of your spirit. How many of you have ever gone out in the spirit? Man, you'll see it. Oh, God will give you some. And you get back in the natural and you start acting like a fool. Because you've got multiple things going on. Your spirit can contain things with God. That's the way your spirit's made. But he gets back up into this system of the world and the enemy starts jumping on what God has said. You were high on the mountain last week and this day you're like, you don't even know what's going on with me today. Need some sozo. You were on the mountain last week. The key is getting your spirit and keeping it there. And not letting the enemy control you here. That's why you have to leave this realm. If you don't leave this realm, you're a product of it. How are we going to birth heaven's realm if we don't leave this realm of the earth? See, it has been. It has been. You are has been. Shut your mouth, has been. Shut yourself up, you has been. It has been in the prolonging of the ram's horn. They say it like this. I like the King James better when it says, not that it shall come to pass when they make the long blast. They're going to make the long blast, but he said it's not when it comes to pass. That's not where Joshua, you see what's going on here? Joshua was there and he said, now it has been that the blast has happened. You see that? Don't you like the has been? It said in both translations, it has been. It has been. See that? Believe you receive. You're on the other end of the equation. It's the truest faith. The most glorious faith ever. And when we learn to do this, we're going to see the creative realm of God hit the earth. That's why when I walk up into this church with a has-been taco stand, I am not looking at anything here. You think I like looking at that stuff out there? No, I see something. I just shut my eyes and I see a whole nother realm. I shut my eyes and I see this place so full of the glory of God because I'm going to go live in the realm of God. Amen. And then I'm going to prophesy out of that realm. I'm going to speak the creative day of the Father from the new realm. Here's the thing. You have the power to tap that realm. And when you learn to get your spirit over there and start talking, God will draw a plumb line around you. And you'll start painting panoramic image of a brand new day that gets locked and concealed. And every time you come in there, that day's living. And if you'll stay with it long enough, God said, I got what I need now. We're going to drop heaven right down in the midst of the plumb line. Heaven on earth, creative day of the Father. I'm already in that now. It's awesome. I wake up, I can't wait to get to that place. Leave this realm, go there, because I'm living there now. And it's given some stuff from there now. It has been. in the prolongation of the horn of the Jubilee. Say the Jubilee horn. In the hearing, the voice of the trumpet. The trumpet's got a voice. That's a true rendering. When the sound is the voice. The voice of dominion. Blasting the voice of dominion. All the people shout a great shout. And watch this. In verse 5 of the King James, it says this. And the wall of the city shall fall. No, no, no. No more shout. We're not shouting anymore. We're moving from shout to done. And he says, and the wall of the city hath fallen under it. And the people have gone up. You see what he's saying? He's right there sitting. And the wall of the city, I have given it to you. It has been. The wall of the city has fallen. Do you see this, Joshua? Are you with me where I am? Because he's there. He's got his spirit captivated in the glory of the Father. He's up into the realm of the glory of him that is to come. That's what the glory realm is. You remember when Isaiah went up into the throne? You remember? Got caught up in the throne and those seraphim were going, holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is filled with the glory. And Isaiah must be scratching his head. He goes, we're in idolatry. God's prophesied to me that all of Israel is about to go into 70-year captivity. And these guys up here are saying the whole earth is filled with the glory. What is going on around here? And he tells Isaiah, who's going to go for us? You're going to go tell them they're going to captivity. But them in that door shook. That was the same seraphim as John went up into. Because they were seeing our day. The day the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. The manifested sons of God. Dropping plumb line dominion in the earth. Overcoming the systems of this world by the dominion of God. And the whole earth will fill up with the glory of God. Garden of Edens will pop up again in the earth. See, they were in another realm with the Father. Because those creatures stand in the realm of the Father. They get to see the other realm. That's what the Lord in the Garden of Eden, I mean, when he was in the Garden of Temptation, the enemy goes, you don't have to do this. I'll give it all to you. He had to gird up and not give in to that temptation because it was his greatest desire. The Father had already promised it to him. All the kingdoms of the world, the nations, you're the king that's going to be set on a holy hill Zion. I'm going to give it all to you. And the enemy's like, I'll just give it to you. You just have to serve me. And God said, and he said, get behind me. And he won the battle that day, still waiting for it to happen. And now our generation appears. This is the generation that will go before the face of God. They will receive the blessing from the God of and the righteousness from the God of our salvation. This is the generation where the King of Glory will bring his crowning glory back into the earth for the harvesting of all nations. Now he's going to get his inheritance. And he's going to use you and I to do it. And he's going to use this plumb line authority to get it done. Because he's going to do the see I have given model. And he said, and the wall, say the wall of the city, say the wall of the city has fallen under it. And all the people have gone up. The walls have fallen. Joshua, see, the Lord said it like this. He said, my Father and I have already worked hitherto. My Father's worked. Now I'm going to work. Look, he goes, I already saw you healed today. My Father already healed you before I even arrived here. Well, Joshua did the same thing. He got in there and saw all the walls fall. The Lord was speaking it for him. He was finishing the work there. He finished it right there. Right there in verse 5, it was done. Battle of Jericho was won right there. Nobody had even approached Jericho. It was finished right there. As soon as then Joshua comes back into time, the Lord leaves and then Joshua goes, all right, assemble yourself. Let's go. Get over here. Somebody, he's going to say and do exactly what he just saw, said, and done. He mirrored the image. We will do what I just saw done. When he said, thy will be done on the earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That means to be superimposed on the earth. The will of God to be superimposed in the earth. We can't superimpose it till we see it, feel it, touch it, taste it, enter into it. Now, if you're waiting for an encounter for that to happen, you're going to wait a long, long time. But if you're waiting on an encounter, Abraham waited, he was what, 99? Thy will be done, superimposing the will of God. If we're waiting on an encounter, oh, if we don't understand that when God gave you a promise, guess where He spoke from? He spoke it from the realm that was done. It was a creative promise. It was like an invitation. He said, let me throw him a seed from the future. He takes a seed and he throws it out to where you are. You know what that is? It wasn't like for you to get excited and throw it on the shelf. That's the worst thing you could ever do. Just shelve it and wait for it. No! You gotta take that thing and abide. It's not just the knowledge of it. Where it's gonna come to life, you're gonna take that word and say, this is the most precious thing you've ever given me. It is the treasure hidden in the field. You're gonna march it right back to where it came from. And you can start representing that thing right in His presence. And then He says, if you abide in me and that word abide in you, if you'll keep it, I'm going to bring it to life. I'm going to cause it to live in you. Then we're going to build a plumb line, framing your world. Now we know the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things that are seen were not made by anything that was visible. Nothing in this visible realm was ever made by what was visible. It was an invisible realm that invaded the visible. It was an invisible kingdom that invaded the visible realm. We have to be the realm of invisible, but it's not invisible to us because God said, I'll allow you to see it. If you'll take these words and stay with me, abide with me, I'll cause that word to go whoosh inside you. You'll see when others can't. You'll speak. You'll see. You'll be full. You'll be, it'll be glorious. And then you'll go, plant that thing in the earth. Frame it. Build a plumb line. Dream with the Father. Now walk out and see that I have given. How do you do that? Use the sanctified imagination that God has given you. Infused with a living promise until that thing starts living. What'll happen? You're in the realm and you start going out and speaking and see I have given and you start seeing and you walk out a little bit a day, every day, you live it out. Then the Father releases some more creativity, a little more. Walk back out there. All those words are kept. He throws a painting on the cylinder wall. You go back in this world, humdrum, go back in here, start saying it again. Every time you go back, that whole plumb line starts living. It's a living, creative plumb line ready for the creativity of heaven to drop in and create a new day. The more you do it, the more alive it's going to be until it becomes living in there. This is the manifestation time of the kingdom of God. Paul Young, he chose to have this realm. Built the largest church ever. Talked to the fourth dimension. He should have just called it the plumb line. He's a forerunner of the fourth dimension. This is the dimension of how the spirit realm superimposes itself into the earth. It's, canest thou believe all things are possible? I'm going to say this in close. He says, without this kind of faith, it's impossible to please the Father. The Father finds pleasure in you just because you're you. That's not the kind of pleasure we're talking about. But God can love you unconditionally, whether you're good, bad, ugly, or beautiful. It don't matter. He loves you. Right? Can't change His love. But there is a pleasure that we can bring the Father that He'll probably find on a hand five people in any generation that can give Him what He wants. The capacity to believe Him. Where He can take His creative heart and drop it down into the earth to somebody who understands creative faith. And if someone understands creative faith, God will turn His eye, He'll turn His ear to you. And when He sets His eye down upon you, when you start speaking, He'll move heaven and move things out of His throne down in that plumb line for you. Because it's His doing. And that's the kind of faith that's pleasing. He says, without it, you can't really please Him the way He wants to be pleased. We're a generation that's going to bring God pleasure. We're going to learn how to do this. I've shut everything else down in my life to learn how this works. I said, Lord, I'll go do ministry, but I want to do this. I used to find great joy in ministry. The greatest joy I find right now is in that realm with God. Can't wait to do it every day. Can't wait to go in there. Can't wait to explore. Don't know what He's going to bring out. don't know what's going to happen. The encounters are so real now. It's hard to discern sometimes which one you're in. They both, it is lovely. But this other one's getting superimposed here. Get ready. This is our year. This is our day. This is our moment. We are in the now position. It is done. And everyone say, shut up! And amen! Praise God. Let's give God glory.